Hey, it's Kathy. Before we get into today's episode, I have something so cool to tell you about. I'm kicking off a free training. It's a free 5-day abundance activation challenge. It starts on May 6th, and I'll be going live every day with you to give you the practical tools that you need to become a master manifester and create more abundance in your life. If you're curious about manifesting and elevating your vibration to start attracting more abundance, if you want tools you can use to tap into the high vibe energy at the drop of a hat, or you're simply seeking truth and joy in life, this challenge is designed for you. I'll be covering the practices and tools to tune your vibration, claim your worth, and co-create with the universe. It's just going to be so much fun. This is the thing that I have been most excited to put together, and I have been working on this behind the scenes really for the last 2 years, and it's finally here. And if you wanted to just do a deep dive into all the spiritual and all the energetic tools that really you can use that are right here, that are within you, that will allow all these incredible gifts that are hidden in plain sight already to start being a part of your life. I'm so excited for this. We always have so much fun, but this is actually something I've been working on for over 2 years, and it's finally here. So save your spot now. You can sign up for free at kathyheller.com/5-day, and that's the number 5.
You gotta let it come up. This is probably gonna come up with as much pain as it went down, but once it comes up, you can release it. Sometimes it's literally 90 seconds. You will feel them in your body somewhere. You will sit with them. They will process and they will dissipate. It's incredibly powerful. And just simply shifting 10% from fear-based to love-based is going to be a monumental improvement in your life.
Hey guys, it's Kathy. Welcome back to the Kathy Heller podcast. I hope you had a beautiful weekend, whether you were celebrating Easter, spending time with your family, spending time in nature. Unfortunately, I got the flu. I woke up Saturday morning at 4 a.m. and just felt something's wrong. And I'm not totally surprised because a week ago, each one of my daughters had gotten it and I thought I was in the clear, but sure enough. And it was just one of those really awful feelings. I won't go into the details, but it's amazing the amount of gratitude that I felt waking up on Sunday morning and feeling a little bit better, and then today a little bit better. It's just the most abundant thing is our good health. The most abundant feeling is feeling physically healthy. And so I just want us to not only to continue to notice that and be aware of it and have so much gratitude for it, but also to pay attention. In the last few months, I started looking into sort of your microbiome more, and I want to do some more episodes about that because it's just so important that we treat food as medicine. And it's amazing how desensitized we can be about our health until we actually don't feel good. And then we really understand what a blessing it is when we don't feel sick. So anyway, I'm feeling much better and I'm very grateful for that. So today we have a beautiful episode. Gino Wickman is here. He's actually back on the show. He was here before and he's an amazing human being. He's an entrepreneur. He's a best-selling author. He's a speaker. He's a teacher. He's the founder of EOS Worldwide. You may be familiar with his popular books like Rocket Fuel, Traction, Entrepreneurial Leadership, The EOS Life. Last time he was on the podcast, we talked about the 10 disciplines for managing and maximizing your energy, which you'd really want to hear that podcast, I'm sure. But today, he's here to share some of the best lessons from his newest book that he co-wrote with Rob Dubay. It's called Shine, How Looking Inward is the Key to Unlocking True Entrepreneurial Freedom. And this is all about how driven entrepreneurs can use the 10 disciplines to maximize their impact and inner peace, create space to master their inner world, and tap out of the prison of the ego and free their true self. This book definitely speaks my language, and I have a feeling you're going to love it. So do yourself a favor and get yourself a copy. Doing this deep dive with Gino is like just such a sensational use of your time. He brings up so much wisdom and there's so much good energy in this conversation. It's a joy to have him back. I took a ton of notes throughout this interview, so get ready because there's a lot we're going to cover. Without further ado, please welcome the one and only Gino Wickman. Gino, welcome back. I think you're one of the brightest people I've ever met. I repeat so many of the things that you say. I feel like you've been given such a gift of clarity and You just have such insight. And this new book that you wrote, I mean, I feel like you wrote it for me, so I'm so happy about it. But it's really, I think this particular audience loves this conversation, right? The intersection of how to maximize our potential by having the greatest amount of inner peace and really coming to center, as opposed to just the achievement game, which there is no end to that game. And yet there is an arriving at your own door. There is a coming home. There is a sense of actually being satisfied, being with what is. And it's interesting. That's not always what's part of the conversation around success. And that to me is like a hell realm almost. It's like, where is the success then if you never arrive? But thank you for writing this book.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate those words. They're beautiful and it's so well said. And I so fondly remember our first podcast just a year and a half ago. And it's really interesting. I was thinking about the timing when we did that podcast a year and a half ago. I was about to write this book, so I hadn't even started yet. And here we now sit on this podcast with the book just coming off the press. So it's like the perfect bookend to the creation of that thing that just kind of flowed out of me and my co-author, Rob Dubé.
That's awesome. I'm not surprised because you have a tremendous amount of integrity and there's something about you that's very like coherent. It's like there's a embodiment of who you are. It's not just intellectual. There's something happening in your energy. And so I'm not surprised that you wrote this book, but tell us a little bit more about what did call you to write this book. What was happening in your own life, in your own world that made you see that this was the next book?
Yeah, well, there's a saying that Daniel Kennedy has that says we teach what we needed the most. So yes, exactly it. I mean, this is just what happened to and for me in the last 4 years. And now I'm just kind of called to share it. So the best context I can create about the evolution of this is that in the last 30 years, I've created 5 pieces of content in the world very quickly. Entrepreneurial Leap for an Entrepreneur in the Making. Rocket Fuel for that visionary to find their integrator and grow to the next level. EOS and Traction to help that entrepreneur build a great business. EOS Life to help them live their ideal life. And then 10 disciplines to then go inside. And so if you think about those first 4 pieces of content and you think about that as the entrepreneurial climb, if you will, what I saw time after time after time and experienced myself is we get to the top of the mountain. We ring the bell. We worked our asses off for decades thinking that there's like this destination. And then you get there. And if I had a nickel for every time I heard it, but these words, is this all there is? You know, kind of a feeling of emptiness or, you know, just not that satisfaction. And so what 10 disciplines is all about is kind of going inside and the outside is what happens in those first 4 pieces of content where that entrepreneur makes the climb, gets to the top of the mountain. And succeeds by every outer world metric. They've got the business, the stuff, the people, the money, the accolades. But again, they're just feeling empty on the inside. And so where I've decided to go, where the universe took me was inside of me about 4 years ago with what I'll describe as an awakening. And I'm just now sharing that so that other entrepreneurs somewhere on their climb can start to look inside.
Oh my gosh, I could sit here all day. So say more. Yeah. What that awakening was like, what modality that was that meditation? Was that mantras? Was that, I don't know, hyperbaric chambers? What was it? And what did you come to know to be true? What did you come to be witness to that was happening for you?
Yeah, well, it's freaky that you say hyperbaric chamber.
I would have pulled that out of nowhere.
My list is lengthy, but what's really crazy about that is I never thought about this, but during that 4 years, I bought a hyperbaric chamber, put it in my house, had it for 2 years. It saved my life during COVID, quite frankly. But I thought that was the reason it came into my life. And then I sold the darn thing because it takes up too much damn space. But who knows? Maybe that was part of the awakening. I don't know. But here's the lightning fast story, the fastest version I can tell you of the story. And I call it the inner world story. So the outer world story, you know, you probably covered that in the intro, so I'm not even going to touch that. Let's go right to the inner world story, because that outer world story, that's the stuff everybody knows and sees. The inner world story is everything going on below the surface that nobody sees. And it's what's going on inside of you and your central nervous system and those tectonic plates that are always shifting. And so lightning fast, I urge everyone on earth to know, learn, and share their inner story. And so here comes mine. You don't have to share yours on a podcast. Just share it with somebody you know and love and trust. But very quickly, you know, I grew up, I moved 9 times by the time I was 10. So I was always very unsettled by that experience. I was sexually abused at 6 and 7 by older boys in the neighborhood, which caused a lot of, I just lived with so much shame for decades over that. I was bullied. I was this tiny little, highly sensitive, creative kid. And so I just bullied all the time. So I always felt unsafe. And so with that, shoot forward to age 15 with those building blocks underneath the surface. Obviously, it's very unsettled in living with these things. Well, alcohol touches my lips at age 15. 14 was never a problem for me, but what it did for me was it numbed all the pain. And what I learned to do at age 15 was put on this suit of armor that was this tough guy image where I just went forward and I worked and I fought and I just, this persona of success that served me really well from age 15 to 50, or at least I thought, at least it got me everything in the outer world that I wanted. During that run in 35 years, I went broke 3 times, roughly age 21, 24, and then 32. 32 was the worst of it. I became a millionaire by 31 and $200,000 in debt by 33, if I'm getting the ages right. Well, with a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a very expensive house and a supportive wife, I lost everything. And I just felt like such a failure through that. But nonetheless, those were the building blocks. Those were the things going on in the inner story. Well, get to age 50. I sell EOS Worldwide. So I sell the business. I ring the bell. I get to the top of the mountain. Around age 52, 2 years into that, I was sitting in my living room, kind of celebrating my success. Always embarrassed to say this, but I thought I was perfect. It's like externally, everything was great, you know, amazing family, friends, business, all the stuff. And then something happened, man. Something just welled up inside of me and it all came out. And there's a great saying by Dr. Doug Brackman, who wrote an amazing book called Driven, who he says, the trauma comes up when we are safe. And he works with a lot of Navy SEALs, entrepreneurs, driven people. And what he talks about is the Navy SEAL doesn't feel the trauma and pain. It doesn't come up on the battlefield. It comes up when they're home on their couch, sitting watching TV, and they're safe. And so when I look back at it, it makes so much sense because I was safe. I sat there. I was feeling safe. I was safe. And all of a sudden, it all came up. And so the universe, whatever it was, something hit me upside the head with a 2x4 and said, it's time to wake up and really find the true you, the real you. And so for the last 4 years, that's been the journey. And then to answer your question, bring this into the home stretch, you know, you're asking what were the protocols, the things I did? Well, I've always done a lot of stuff. I probably do way too much stuff, but I'm just such a seeker. I love doing it all. And so I've dabbled in trying different things from age 30 to then. But the 4 most profound things that I think made an impact, number 1 was meditation. Unfortunately, it wasn't my hyperbaric chamber, but now you got me thinking I got to look back at that. But again, meditation, just stillness, being in silence was really big. 2 very profound books, Letting Go by David Hawkins and Untethered Soul by Michael Singer were very, very profound for me. Therapy, I've tried it in my 20s. I tried it in my 40s. It was really at that period of my 50s when I was ready to be honest. That's when it really took hold. And then a couple of plant medicine journeys, just kind of dissolved my ego for a brief 3 to 4 hours and turned off the default mode network and my ego and just kind of let me listen to my soul for 3 or 4 hours. And that was really insightful, but I always give a disclaimer on that. There's got to be integration. It really needs to be more clinical than recreational. And right now there's a shitstorm of plant medicine going on out there, but it is healing a lot of people. It's really performing miracles. So those were kind of the big 4. And then I've done lots of other things, but those were the biggies that really made an impact.
It's just so exquisite. It's so necessary. It's beyond important. There's no end to how much we need to have this conversation. I mean, this really is the conversation. Like, this is what we didn't actually come here to build a big pile of stuff. We really came to do this work, but it's a test when you have charisma and talent and you know how to work hard and you start getting a lot of praise for building big piles of really helpful things. Yeah. You start to think that you're actually crushing this game that we're playing. And then there is a
whether it's a small piece or a bigger piece, there's some piece that just keeps saying, this feels empty. Mm. And until that gets sort of seen, it doesn't matter how awesome this pile is. So I'm just really impressed and in awe that you like fully were willing to see it. And like you said, just like have that radical, honest look.
Yeah.
So that all sounds just so powerful, but the experience of it, clearly on some level, most people are avoiding it.
Yeah.
So when you wrote this book, what were you hoping to walk people toward that could be accessible, not necessarily, you know, completely overwhelming, but a way that they can start to come home to themselves?
Yeah.
What can we start to do? And why is it so important? Like, what joy, what pure joy are we missing?
Yeah.
That we don't know that we're missing because we're not coming home in this way.
Yeah, that's such a great next question. And so what I'll do is I'm going to begin at the end now. Okay. So I think what's going to happen here is we're going to take your listener and viewers on a journey. Okay. And I'm going to shoot all the way to the end of the journey and share what I'll call the final discovery. And the final discovery is that it is possible to be driven and have peace. Okay. And so I'm going to go much deeper into that when we get to the end of this, if you will, this journey we're going to take them on. But it's, that's the beauty. It is possible to be driven and have peace. So it's not a choice, one or the other. And so what I hope to prove and show, as I'm doing for myself, is that you can still take this gift that we have been given as driven people with this incredible talent and go make a huge impact on the world and an even bigger impact while experiencing peace in this next era. So with that, now I'll come all the way back to your question, to the front of the journey. And what I hear you asking, and we can spend a little time just making sure this question and answer is clear, but you know, you're asking like, where do you start? And so where I'd like to start is this, because if anyone out there is terrified about this conversation, it's okay. I beg you to hear this. It's okay, because go apply all of the content, those first four pieces, to your life and go build an amazing outer world life. And you will be called at the right time to do this. But what I think, and it's also the kind of audience you attract, most of your audience is ready for this. So I don't want anybody to feel like guilty or there's something wrong with them that they aren't ready to go inside. Again, I think most of your audience are, but for the ones that aren't, just go keep building your outer world, build your empire. The time will come. So again, for those that their soul is pinged, as I like to say, I always describe it as, we hope in this conversation we're going to have today that we pierce the shield, that armor shield that we all put on, and just let a little light in or a little light out. So in terms of first steps, I like to kind of create awareness, okay? And with awareness, there are three discoveries that I like to share. And I want to trust your gauge on the governor at which how deep we go into each discovery. So you're the judge and jury and the governor on this. And you and I went really deep into the 10 disciplines in the previous podcast. And so I don't know that we need to go as deep or even need to go there, because it's this bigger picture context I'm going to create. We could go 6 hours on that alone. But again, you're the judge and jury and you're the governor. So I call them the three discoveries for freeing your true self. Okay. And so we all have a true self, and you can call that whatever you want to call that, your soul, your essence, your being. And so I believe that that can be fully free. And I believe for most of us, it's not. And so again, three discoveries to free your true self. And so discovery number one, I call, I am driven. And so this is you speaking to yourself, but it's the hopes that, quite frankly, today in this conversation, everyone will have that discovery and understand this. But you out there, you are driven. I am driven. We are the driven. We are the 10% that are born with this gene that makes us driven. Now, what's important to understand, because again, this is a discovery, this is an awareness that we have, knowing this, while half of knowing it, we should thump our chests and be proud, the other half is there's some things we have to be aware of. And so it is a blessing and a curse to be driven, to be one of the 10%. And furthermore, a driven entrepreneur is one of the 4%. So with that, the blessing is that we are born with superhuman stamina, that we can do more than most. We are the creators of most things on this planet. We are the problem solvers of the big problems on the planet. The curse is that sadly and unfortunately, we do a lot of damage to ourselves emotionally, physically, mentally, and we do damage to the relationships around us. And so we tend to leave a black trail behind us. And what's important to understand about that is to just be aware. So it's nothing that you have to apologize for. It's just being aware. And what's important to understand that it is DNA. And so I alluded to and mentioned Dr. Doug Brackman. He wrote an amazing book called Driven. Highly recommend you read it out there because it takes you to the science of who you are. And there's a gene that the D2, D4 gene, and there's an allele in the gene for us. It's just a flaw in the gene that we just don't feel the same level of satisfaction as others. And so we're always seeking just a little bit more of an adrenaline hit than most need. And that gets us in a lot of trouble. And it makes us feel different. And it gives us this need to want to accomplish more and be more. And so it does damage. It wears on us. And what that also leads to is we get ourselves in trouble, which leads to situations that cause pain and trauma because we tend to be taking a lot more risks than most people. And then with that pain and trauma, it then leads to addiction. And so we tend to find addictions. Addiction is just simply doing something that's not good for you to numb the pain. It's just to basically numb the pain. And so when that alcohol touched my lips at 15 years old, it numbed the pain. Again, like I said, thank God it was never a problem for me, but there are all forms of addiction. And we don't have to get into all of them, but one of the most prominent for a driven entrepreneur is workaholism. What we do is we hide behind our work. We numb ourselves in that work to just kind of hide from the pain. And then all of a sudden shoot forward to what I said. And as Doug said, when we are safe, you know, that pain is going to come up. So I'll stop there. But the bookend on this discovery is just awareness. It's just to have the discovery awareness, understand that I am a driven person. These are the pros and cons. And I just need to know what that is. And it is truly a gift, but there are some dark sides.
It's really fascinating for so many reasons. I'll just share two. One, when I was in college, I was a world religion major, and I remember writing my senior paper about the comparison between Moses and the Buddha, Siddhartha, because they actually have a lot in common. They both grew up in a palace, and then they both wound up going into the wilderness, and then they both kind of led people to this enlightened sort of path. Yeah. And so I thought, no one's ever compared those two people. That seems like such an interesting one, because I had been like looking at these different religions. And I remember then going to Jerusalem and studying for a few years. And I remember having this battle within myself, like, I love Buddhism because I can just be. Like, I can just be. That's the end all, be all. And in Judaism, the idea was like to be driven to complete and fix and repair the world. And I was like, which one's right? Like, where do you go? And it was really like, that's been a question for me for a long time. What I have come to understand, because I'm Jewish and I do some of these practices, is that the Sabbath is like our, that's the day where you can be. And then 6 days a week, we believe you're being asked to like get your hands messy and go build and go contribute and all of that. I'm not saying that Buddhism doesn't talk about kindness and contribution. I'm just talking in very loose terms about just what has always, I've always asked that question. Who is actually benefiting the planet more? Someone who is resonating peace, who is just being in this present moment, palpably open-hearted, or someone who's building some giant, even if it's beautiful, like who actually, at the end of the day, what shakes the heavens more? Like that's been a question for me. And so I love that you just said, first of all, there's a group of people. I didn't even know that there's a DNA, you know, sort of like aspect to this. And there's just that thought, because for me, this is the second point I'll make really quickly, is that I lived half of my life in Florida. I grew up there, and half my life in Los Angeles. And as my whole team knows, people in my audience know, I've been wrestling with like, well, if I'm in LA, I'm driven. And when I'm in Florida, I'm kind of chill because there's just a different part of me that turns on and I become a different part of my identity. And I find that very confusing to look at it in a very binary way, because the truth is I'm kind of both. So this feels like an answered prayer that we're talking about this very thing, because I didn't think you were going to say that there is a way to integrate both. I sort of have always thought that at a certain point, one wins out, and that it's been seeming to me, at least, that the thing that wins is the simple being and meaning. And yet there's this part of me that just doesn't stop looking at things and wanting to do something about them. So what can you tell us, especially for the women who listen to the show? They're compassionate, and they're also, I think, they also feel compelled to make change, and they don't want to miss out on noticing the shades of green outside their window. They don't want to miss out on soft and slow.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I am going to actually jump to discovery number three. Then we're going to come back to number two, because it has to be done right now. And I'm just trusting my gut on this. But discovery number three, I already let the cat out of the bag, and that is that it is possible to be driven and have peace. And so I want to drill down on this with you. But the short answer to your question is, I believe it's both. I believe you can have both. I am convinced that you can have both. Again, be both driven and have peace. And yes, I think there's a place in the world for people that do nothing but sit in peace and stillness and silence all day, and people that make an impact on the world. But I believe so what we're talking about is true self, the soul of a driven entrepreneur. And I believe the soul of a driven entrepreneur has to create, needs to make an impact. We are the doers. We are the workers. And so I have this way of describing it as productivity and peace. And it's in the infinity model. And I'll just crudely hold up a visual for you. It's only there for my sake, but you can see that there. So the infinity model, for those that don't know what it looks like, is just a figure eight on its side. And it's just this flow of, in my mind, two hemispheres. One is that productivity piece, or impact, as we like to call it. But again, that's that drive, that's that doing, that's that working, that's producing. And on the other side of that is that peace side. And so the discovery here is that you can have both. And so for me personally, and I know I'm not alone, there are people listening out there, I thought it was a choice. I thought you get one or the other, and that's what you thought. So here we are having this amazing conversation. And so I really thought that if I ever found peace, it would zap me of everything. And I thought I'd want to live in a hut at the top of a mountain and meditate all day. Well, that's just not the case for driven people. We need to do that for about 30 minutes a day and then go create for the other 23 and a half hours. It's like you can only sit there so long, because what happens with the driven entrepreneurial soul inside of you, what happens is this incredible shift from outside in to inside out. And so what happens is there's a calling. You're just simply called to go create what you're here to create. And you can't stop it. You cannot stop it. So a quick story is, when my daughter was born around age 25. And again, here I am, put that suit on at age 15, this tough guy, hardworking image that I created for myself. Well, when she was born in the hospital, I felt something that I can only describe as bliss. I mean, just absolute peace and love and bliss. And it lasted about an hour. And then I shoved it back down because it scared the living shit out of me. It terrified me. It felt wimpy. It felt weak. And I truly thought I was going to be zapped of everything. Same thing happened when my son was born, pushed it back down. So that's the thing that finally came up at 52. And so it is possible. And when you find this piece, and that's what we're going to talk about in discovery number two, by the way, we went out of order here on purpose. Like I said, what happens is this inside out approach to the world, because the way most of us are living with this entrapment with our ego is we're living this outside in life. We're weighing every decision against outer factors and competition and fear. And so that's all outside in stuff. And for driven people, we'll build an empire on that. But shift that, dissolve that ego, go from the inside out, you will have 10 times the fuel, because again, it's coming from the inside out. It's a true calling. It's truly pursuing a purpose. So that's discovery number three, jumping ahead. I'll leave it. I'll turn it over to you.
Beautiful. It just made me well up with tears, like on impact of hearing the way you shared that, because I can feel it. And because I know that feeling, you know, I felt the exact same feeling when my kids were born. This kind of love that's like holding moonlight or something. It's just, it's the most profound, pure feeling, envelops every cell of your being, every part of you, every aspect of your soul. And I also have been thinking a lot about like my husband. I felt the same way when I met him, and different than with my kids, at least for me, that scared me so much, that feeling of being so vulnerable, because my dad had walked out when I was a kid, that I've spent the 14 years of our marriage trying to push that down so that I wouldn't be afraid of being so, so caught in that feeling of love and awe and connection and gratitude for such this beautiful grace that something could happen, right? So I've just like put on my like that guard. And it's interesting. I feel like part of that, and I want to ask you, is like, I think that there is, you said you were sitting in this moment where you were celebrating your success. But along the way, I feel like there's this way in which we don't necessarily feel the satisfied, feel the enjoyment of, take in the good, fill it up, take it in. It's sad that like there's just this, you finish something, whether it's the book or you finish the course or you finish the event, and then you're just on to the next thing. And you didn't yet stop and take it in, like enjoy it, be satisfied even for a moment. And that doesn't feel good. And even if you are driven, and even if you can find a way to find the peace and the drive, I think part of that is taking in, having a relationship in your nervous system to the word satisfied. Like, do you know what that feels like ever? Can you feel equanimity ever? So how have you learned to arrive at a place where you can feel the feeling of fullness and wholeness while still giving yourself permission to go into creative mode when you want to?
Yeah. So hold that question, because you might have to remind me of that question, but you prompted three simultaneous thoughts.
I can't wait. I want all of it.
To answer that question that you just asked. So first of all, I want to zoom back out for a second, because I really want to come back to what you're asking. And I'm hoping the audience is going to track with me on this, because I want to go back to that infinity model. I want to make a really strong point. And so hopefully I've created an image in everyone's mind out there, this infinity model, this figure eight on its side. And on the left side of the model, we put the word impact. On the right side of the model, we put the word peace. Okay, those are our two words that we choose at the 10 Disciplines organization. But we have every one of our clients choose their word. Okay, and like you just said, two really cool words that fit on the right side. But under the impact side on the left, we urge you out there to choose your word, because there's a perfect word that resonates with your soul for what you're about to go out and do. And so on the impact side, it's words like work, create, produce, provide your craft to the world, manifesting, earning, doing, providing value, serving, driving, your calling, your purpose. So those are all the wonderful words, and just choose the one that works for your driven soul. On the right-hand side, under peace, these are words like self-trust, love, intuition, being, presence, flow, energy, feeling connected to all that there is, letting go, awareness, consciousness. And those two words you just threw in there, satisfaction, I think was one of the words. I can't remember the word you used. But the point I'm making in this is, when you talk about that thing that we need to feel, that satisfaction, for me, going to the second point I wanted to share, it happened to me about 2 years ago. And in all that I was doing, something finally cracked me open, because what I realized what I was doing was pouring love into the world. I love everybody. But what I wasn't doing, I didn't know how to receive any love out there. Like, I didn't even know how to receive my wife or my daughter or my son's love. And so, but I'm using the word love. You could call that peace. We can go through all those words, but it's cracking your chest open, cracking your heart open, and letting it in, let that stuff in. And so it's not about, you know, you made an accomplishment, stop and celebrate your accomplishment. It's about 24/7. You can literally feel that if you will just open yourself up and let it in. Now, here's the good news. If you only feel it 10% of the time, that is like a Richter scale monumental improvement in your life. And I feel like where I am, because, you know, you asked me this question as if I figured it all out and I haven't figured anything out, or I figured something out. So I'm just like on this journey with all of you. We're just trying to figure it out. But what I believe where I am is about 70% of the time, I'm feeling that thing. And 30% of the time, I'm not, you know, 30%, it gets dark, you know, it gets tough. I go to a dark place, but 70% of the time, I'm feeling that bliss, that love, that peace. So again, whatever two words you use there, I would just call that peace in our world of the word that we use, but you get to choose your word out there. And so now I'll ask you, can you re-ask your question if it hasn't indirectly been answered?
No, I think you did indirectly ask it. And I love that you just reminded us all that that having can be every second. It doesn't have to just be, because there's what to let in right now. There's what to enjoy in every moment. The love of the people around you, the love of the life force moving through you. You're right. That is such an important thing.
And if I may on that, and it doesn't mean you have to meditate for 24 hours to feel it all day. I mean, literally, if this visual image I'm conveying makes sense, you get to go out now and do your wonderful work and create as an entrepreneur while feeling this below the surface in your tectonic plates, in your central nervous system. It can happen all the time while you're doing the work. And then all of a sudden you're in this flow state. We call it float in our world, F-L-O-W-T, which is a combination of two words, flow and float. So you're in a flow state when you're working and making an impact, and you feel like you're floating while you're doing it. It's a very powerful feeling. So it's not like you have to stay in meditation all day to get there, but meditation will get you there as well as many other things.
I love that you just said that, because that was my next question, because you talk about it in the book, how to tap into flow state. And I love how you just talked about the floating, because that is exactly how it feels. And I've never been able to actually say that and put that together, but it is that very interesting. It's this feeling of real surrender where you're just kind of, you're just available, and somehow just everything is moving and you're right where you need to be and you're not even pushing to do it. How do you talk about in the book how to tap into that, right? Yeah, like, so, I think everybody wants to be in that place.
Yeah. So great that you went there, because now this takes us back to discovery number two. So I hope everybody's following the bouncing ball. We went from one to three to two, which we really shouldn't, but I think it was the perfect thing for today's conversation. So now I take you to discovery number two. And again, the three discoveries for freeing your true self. Discovery number two is that all decisions are made out of love or fear. All decisions are made out of love or fear. And so in this discovery, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you four levels deep into the root of what's really going on and why you're not feeling that peace that you could potentially be feeling. And so first, before I go into the four levels, I just kind of contextually want to paint a picture. And so hopefully everybody can see this in their minds out there. But when we say love or fear, love is simply your true self, your heart, your soul. It's coming from within you. Fear is just simply your ego, your mind at work. And so if you can think of those two things, and when I say decisions, decisions are also thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So thoughts, feelings, emotions, decisions. So all day, every day, we're having thousands of these, and they're either coming from love or fear. Understanding that love is true self and fear is ego, what you will start to see is this beautiful, driven, entrepreneurial soul that you have, your true self, encased in what I like to describe as this cocoon, this black cocoon, I will call your ego. And so there's this bright soul wanting to shine, but it's being protected by your ego. Again, just picture the visual image of that with that black cocoon. Well, that cocoon is your ego just simply trying to protect you like a protective mother. It's just trying to protect you from ever feeling the pain that you felt in the past. And so it made up lots of stories. There's a lot of conditioning that you learn from the people around you in your life that does not fit with your true self. And so that's that encasing, if you will, or that encasement. And so now if you can picture that image, I'm going to take you four levels deep into understanding the root of why we make fear-based decisions and how to shed all that and make more love-based decisions. And so the first level I take you to is level one in an understanding that your true self is in there. So with that visual image I paste, just know that it's in there. You're in there and it wants to come out and it shines so bright. It burns so bright and it wants out of that protective layer. And so, like I said, all that happened is your ego's trying to protect you from the pain from the past. That was me putting on my armor suit at age 15 to protect myself. I also call those layers. So the conditioning, the trauma, the pain, the protection, that those are all layers that we can shed. Another way I like to illustrate it is a block of marble. And so picture you are this beautiful masterpiece inside of a block of marble. And the idea is just to shed and chip away all the chunks of marble that aren't the real you. And so that's what we're talking about here. And so your true self is in there. Now that you know that at level one, we take you to level two, and that is the understanding that you are pure energy. And so again, if you go back to this visual image, your true self in there shining bright, encased in this black cocoon, well, that is your ball of energy. That is all energy. We are all balls of energy. And some of us burn very bright and some of us don't burn so bright. And for those of us that don't burn bright, we just got lots of layers that we need to shed because we're just not shining as bright as we could due to all those layers. And I shared that Letting Go from David Hawkins was a very profound book for me. He's got a very profound scale of consciousness that he teaches the world. And it's basically we vibrate somewhere between 0 and 1,000. And at the lowest level, I'll just quickly peek at some of these words here. At the lowest level are things like shame and guilt and apathy. And it slowly works up to 1,000. And as you work your way up, you then go to fear and desire, anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, enlightenment. And so we're all vibrating somewhere on that scale. And so again, the lower we're vibrating, it's just, again, we are trapped in that protective layer. And so that's all energy, though. We are pure energy. It's scientifically proven. Go Google it. In other words, you can't deny it any longer that we are all made up of pure energy. Now that you understand that, we then take you another level deep to the third level. And the third level is that you can remove blocked energy. And so that cocoon I talked about, those layers, those chunks of marble, the armor suit, call it what you want. Those are all energy blocks. This has been taught and said a million ways. It's been talked about for thousands of years. They're called SIMPs going back 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years. They're called mental impressions. There's so many different words for it, but what it simply is a block that you have in your energy from something from the past. It's your ego hanging onto it. And again, the awareness here is that you can remove blocked energy. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 4 years, is just removing blocks, shedding layers. I actually started shedding some layers back in my 30s. Wasn't as profound as is now, but I always jokingly say, whenever you shed a layer, there will be tears. And so Michael Singer talks about an untethered soul, that the block is going to come up with as much pain as it went down. And so again, our ego is stuffing it down. We need to release it to shine brighter, and it can be released. And there are 1,000 ways to release it. I shared 4 in the beginning of this conversation, but there are literally thousands of ways. And what I personally believe is there will be human beings walking this earth, hopefully some of your audience, that once you understand this incredibly basic, simple concept, some people will shed it all in the snap of a finger. I was not so lucky. I'm on the multi-decade plan. But I believe some people will shed because it is literally that simple. And then the other thing I found is when you shed layers, free your true self, shine brighter, the addictions go away. In other words, you just don't need the addictions any longer. Once you understand that you can remove blocked energy, we then take you to the fourth and final level. And that is just simply be aware of which type of decision you're making. So be aware of your thoughts, emotions, feelings, and decisions as they come up throughout the day, and just start to realize which ones are coming from fear, which ones are coming from love. As Eckhart Tolle taught us, with awareness comes transformation and freedom. And so it's just about being aware. And that's why meditation, stillness practices, so meditation, journaling, prayer, contemplation, these are wonderful forms to just sit in silence and let the stuff come up. It's the reason people fear sitting in silence, because there's stuff that wants to come up. There's a study, I'm going to get it wrong, I'll get it 80% right, but there was a study done. I can't remember the number of people, but what would happen in this study is they would go into a room and sit in silence for a period of time. In that room was a little button they could push. And when they pushed the button, they would get an electrical shock. Prior to the study, they were all given the electrical shock, and every single one of them said they would pay money to never receive the shock again. They were then sent into the room to sit in silence for, I believe it was 15 minutes. Almost half the people hit the button, and one person hit the button like 100 times. The point is, it's more painful for them to sit in silence and look inside and feel what's inside than it is to hit that damn button and get shocked. I mean, what does that tell us? So you got to let it come up. And then when it comes up, again, like I said, as Michael Singer says, it's probably going to come up with as much pain as it went down. But once it comes up, you can release it. Sometimes it's literally 90 seconds. You will feel them in your body somewhere. You will sit with them. They will process and they will dissipate. It's incredibly powerful. And just simply shifting 10% from fear-based to love-based is going to be a monumental improvement in your life. And so hopefully I communicated that well.
Oh,
but
my
that's
God.
How
you
shed.
So well. I have two questions that I want to ask you. I'm going to ask you this one first, which is just to drill down a little bit on what you were saying, because for people who don't have a lived experience of this that you're speaking of, or a lived experience of meditation, or any of that real knowing of what you speak, let's say somebody wants to either try it or even know a little bit before they try it. How would you qualify how we distinguish between what is the process of what's coming out that needs to shed versus sitting in contemplation, thinking you're doing that, and all you're doing is more of the static and more of getting into your reptilian brain? I think that that is problematic, and that is something to discern, because there are people who've said to me, I've done a meditation retreat, I went to therapy, I felt worse. I'm like, well, from where were you sort of calibrating, you know? And it's like, if you're just going more into the storm, that's just more of the storm. And I don't know how you would articulate it, but what would you point people toward? What's the difference between feeling something that's deep and potentially painful, but is a beautiful process of shedding, versus feeling pain and discomfort because you're just continuing to rattle the mind?
Yeah, it's so good. And there's like literally six different things coming up in my mind. So I'm going to try and get them all out as fast as I can and keep digging on this. But, you know, the first thing I want to say that comes to me very, very quickly is I believe it gets worse before it gets better. So sorry, I'm just putting it out there. At least it did for me. And here's why. And this is what I learned, why it gets worse. You are playing with your ego here. That's not a great way to say it. But what's happening when you're shedding, you are confronting things from the past that your ego does not want you to confront. Your ego thinks it's doing the right thing. It's protecting you. And so know that its intentions are good. You never want to death the ego, fight the ego, kill the ego. That will not end well. Your ego is always going to fight you. So it's going to do everything in its power to scare the shit out of you in meditation, in silence, because it does not want to go to this place. So I believe it gets worse before it gets better. Something called the dark night of the soul that's in every spiritual teaching of the last 5,000 years. Yep. And it's real. When you fully confront this thing, that's the day that your ego finally sits back. But before it sits back, it's going to fight you like hell. So I believe it gets worse before it gets better, because you're dissolving the ego. What happens is you ultimately form a relationship with your ego. You let your soul start to lead, and then your ego just kind of takes the back seat. Where right now your ego's leading and your soul's kind of stuck in the back to that image that I talked about. So knowing that, that probably scared away 10% of your audience, and that's unfortunate, but at least you know and you're not surprised. Now, with that said, I believe everyone's approach to how to shed layers is different. You got to figure out your own way. And like I said, some people will do it in a snap. But in this particular book, I think we offer 25 different ways, resources for shedding layers, we call them. I shared four earlier. I really believe it's as simple as if you decide you want to embark on this journey and you just need to be in for the long haul, if you want this to arrive at this beautiful place, it might take a little bit of time. Just put your radar up that you're looking for the right resource for you to shed layers. And that's going to lead you to a therapist, you know, some individual that is a healer, some book that you're going to read, meditation, whatever it is for you. I believe you're going to be led there because for me, it just kind of presents itself to me at the right time when I need the thing. And so I said three of the five things that came to me. So keep digging and the other two will pop in when they at the right time.
I love this so much. I'm going to ask you the other question that I wanted to ask you, but I also just want to say that I've gone on a few like week-long meditation retreats and I did one in September in Vail with Joe Dispenza. It was like 100 of us. It was like it was really beautiful, but he wanted to try things with us that he doesn't do at his like regular things, which is cool. And it was much harder. And I felt myself fighting me. You know, I felt myself like, who does he think he is? This is all myth, like jumbo, but whatever. I felt a lot of that because it has nothing to do with him. It's just silence. Like all he's doing is facilitating silence anyway. But after I broke through, I had the most beautiful encounter of my life, which was on the other side of what I had to face and the amount of tears and the excruciating pain that I felt by day three. What happened is I wound up seeing as if there was an escrow account of all this love that had been waiting for me. Yeah. And it took me to my knees. I was like, oh my God, there is an escrow account literally that is sitting here. I could almost see and feel all the prayer that my husband had sent up for me. Mm. My grandparents, like all this love. And I was like, just completely taken to the most essential part of myself. And I was like, wow. So I say that because as scary as it is, the payoff for being willing is so magnificent. Mm. It is just so magnificent. And so every year I sign up to go away for a week and sit in silence some way, somehow. I've done lots of different ones. Mm. And I'm always dreading it. I come up with some reason why I can't go this time. And then I always go and I come back and just change the radio completely inside of myself. Like it just hear different music.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that because you prompted the other two things. And I'm so glad I remember them because they're so vital in this part of the conversation. Because the first thing is, how do you know when you're on the right track? Is you feel it. If you're thinking it, you're in the wrong place. So if you sit there in silence and it's a thinking thing going on and you're sitting there going, oh, this must be what's supposed to be happening. That's not it. You're going to feel it somewhere in your body. And for me, the most common two places I feel it is my chest or my stomach. And what I've learned is when I feel it in my chest, it's something from the past. And when it's in my stomach, it's something from the future. And then every once in a while, I'll feel something in my throat. And that's when I'm holding back on saying something I should. But I mean, there are people that feel in their legs, their arms, their head, but you're going to feel it in your body somewhere. That's when you know that you're on the right track and it ain't going to feel so good. So just with it. Number two is, you know, I'll be frank. This conversation scares me because like I said, I think it gets worse before it gets better. It got worse before it got better for me in these last 4 years. And it's a really scary place where you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, am I like destroying my life here? Why am I doing this? So sometimes it gets a little scary. And the point I'm trying to make and what comes up for me is, honest to God, the simplest path would have been for me to just keep this to myself, do this at home, find this peace, because I'm scared that somebody's going to go do this stuff and they're going to have a really tough 6 months because yes, those couple of people that said to you, I did it and it felt worse. I think it gets worse before it gets better. And so it scares me for that, but I can't not do this. I can't stop myself. I'm called to share this freaking message. I don't want to share my inner story with the world. You out there, you don't have to share your inner story with the world. Just share it with one person you love and trust. For some damn reason, I'm being called to share it with more than one, and que sera, it is what it is, but that's just what I was kind of compelled to say.
It's beautiful. And so here's the question that was that second question, which I think is a nice one to wrap up with, especially in light of this fair warning, right? Which is, I think for some people, the way that they're wired, at least in this moment, is if something will make them more successful, they'll do it, right? Like if somebody doesn't want to necessarily play, right? There's all this study on now play. But if you could convince them that play will make them more successful, productive, like, fine, I'll do it, right? Like, whatever it is, in this vein, because you have this background of speaking to entrepreneurs and talking about how we can maximize our potential, I do want to ask from that vantage point, what's the compelling argument for why this work and this path actually makes us more of a candidate to be even more successful as an entrepreneur? Why might it be worth it to go through this journey for that reason as well?
Yeah. So it's a really tough one to answer because you're exactly right. It's really hard to say, you know, with all the outer world stuff, you can say, do these three things and you'll increase your income 3%, you know, or 5% or 10% or 20% or 100%.
Right.
It doesn't quite work that way with what we're talking about. And so I'm going to go to a whole different place with this question because I don't want to sell anybody on it. And I feel like what we shared, it's going to either ping your soul or it's not. So what I think, don't know if I'm right, but what I think is you are called to go here, whether you want it or not, somewhere in your life. And for some people, it's 20 years old. And for some people, it's 80 years old and everything in between. And for me, it just happened to be at 52 years old. I think if I was listening to this podcast at 36 years old, it would have went right over my head. So I really think you're called. And so for those out there being called, you're going to start the journey. You can't not. There's something about this that is compelling you. And like I started at the very beginning, for those of you that aren't being pinged, just go keep focusing on the outer world, because it's really hard for me to say, you know, start shedding layers and you'll get 100% return on your investment. That can't even come out of me on this particular topic. Now go back to the first four pieces of content I created and I can certainly give you one hell of a sales pitch. And so the thought that comes on this whole conversation is, you know, what we teach in our organization is the 10 disciplines to maximize your peace, your impact, and your energy. And so that's what we're doing in the world. And everything you and I have talked about to this point is the what. The 10 disciplines are the how. They're what create the space and the platform and the time in your life to do this wonderful work. So maybe just implement the 10 disciplines in your life, see what happens for you. Maybe that's a great place to start, because what they do, the beauty of those is they not only maximize your inner world and your inner peace, they maximize your outer world. They help you make an even bigger impact on the world. So there's the best answer.
I think it's beautiful. And we will put links to all of those, well, our last episode, but also your other books. And, you know, I love the humility and the lack of self-righteousness that you have, because Jon Kabat-Zinn has been on the show, but I remember when I first met him, he had such humility in him. I asked him a question. It was like 15 years ago. And I said, if somebody is having a hard time with meditation, should they just sit in the room longer? And he said, well, I don't think so. He said, if someone just went through grief, I would recommend not meditating. I would say, could you take a walk for 5 minutes without your phone? Could that just be it for now? And there's so much wisdom in what you just said, right? Like, guess what? Maybe if you're not feeling ping, then don't. Like, maybe just continue to notice the nudges and just keep being curious. And I would also say, though, that in every breath of this conversation, because of everything you said and how you tied it all together, because we're energy and because the inner shift always shifts the outer, and because energy is way more powerful than matter, then there's no doubt that by being more of a resonant force, your frequency carries a lot more impact, period.
Here, here, here.
And so that might not be about an actual ROI numerically, but it's certainly true that the impact matches the force of intention. And so I love how you said it's there. Like, I think that's not something that society necessarily tells us to even know to look for it, because it is there. So thank you so much for being such an exquisite human being. You're such an extraordinary professor. I feel like when you speak, I am like getting this one-on-one masterclass with like the best possible professor. Just the way you pull together sentences and structure a conversation. It's fun to listen to, but it's so much your gift of like just communicating with love and passion and in such coherent frameworks. Mm. It's awesome. It's like watching Fred Astaire tap dance, like listening to you talk. So it's really, really fun. And this book is gorgeous. So I know that it's coming like very soon. Like,
oh,
very
yeah.
Soon.
I assume by the time this comes out, it will already be out.
March 26th, right?
Yes. So it's called Shine, and it's how looking inward is the key to unlocking true entrepreneurial freedom.
Amazing. Thank you so much. What a blessing to sit with you.
My pleasure. Right back at you.
Well, that was incredible. Gino's amazing. Here are the takeaways. Number one, it is possible to be driven and have peace. Number two, crack your heart open and let it in. Number three, dissolve the ego. Go from the inside out. You will have 10 times the fuel. Number four, your true self is in there. Shed those protective layers and let it shine bright. Number five, with awareness comes transformation and freedom. Number six, just simply shifting 10% from fear-based to love-based is going to be a monumental improvement in your life. And number seven, when you fully confront this thing, that's the day that your ego finally sits back and your soul starts to lead. All right. Well, now I want to give a shout out to some of the alumni from our podcast program. I want to say congratulations to Rachel Bateman and her show, Breaking Writer's Block, Heidi Lowe and her podcast, Falling Apart or Failing Into Place, Amy Earhart and her podcast, Diaries of a Heart Warrior, and Cheryl Davis and her podcast, Wellness in a Chaotic World. I'm just so proud to see these women doing such amazing things and putting these shows in the world. They're doing such incredible work. If you want to check out their podcast, I will put the links in the show notes. And I want to just say thank you to you for listening, because there's so much on your plate and it means a lot that you're here. We have great episodes coming up, so please follow along on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, wherever you're listening. And if there's anything that you love about this show, go leave us a review, because it helps other people to find it and it means so much. I love to read them. It only takes a minute of your time. And if you can think of one person who you think would find this episode valuable, then text them the link or email it or post about it on Instagram. You have no idea what one conversation can do to help completely change the direction that someone's going in. And finally, we're doing this live podcast summit 2 days in Los Angeles, May 20th and 21st. It's called Her Turn to Podcast Summit. And the early bird pricing is ending today. So if you want to get in on these two incredible days filled with amazing panels of women who are podcasters, who are really going to help you see not only how to start or grow a podcast, not only how to monetize a podcast, but how do you tap into your innate gifts as a woman to build a business without hustle, but from alignment. There's going to be a sound bath. There's going to be meditation. It's going to be really special. And Jenny Garth is going to be there as well. I'll be doing a live interview with her from stage. You can go grab your seat at kathyheller.com/live. I would love to see you there. Early bird prices are ending today. So go grab your tickets now at the discounted rate. I'll leave you with a song and I'll talk to you next week.
Look at that girl. She's lighting up the world. She'll be a hologram to earn their love. People wait in line to see the way she shines. If she wasn't perfect, would it be enough? Now the sky is on fire. I've lived my whole life walking on a wire. My heart's on fire. I don't wanna live a lie. Suddenly, I'm breaking free. Suddenly, I'm breaking free. I have never felt so strong. I've been waiting. Lisa. They all come to see her. Everybody's looking for a hero. Now the sky is on fire. I've lived my whole life walking on a wire. My heart's on fire. I don't want to live a lie. Suddenly, I'm breaking free. Suddenly, I'm breaking free. I've never felt so strong. I've been waiting for so long to be me. Suddenly, I'm breaking free. One, two, three. Ready, set, 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 free. One, two, three.